This morning, let's take a look at chapter 10, the first couple of verses. As the Lord speaks of the condition of Israel. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided, and now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars, he shall spoil their images, and now they shall say, "We have no king, because we feared not the Lord." The accusation that God is making against Israel is that they had a divided heart. Now, Israel was still acknowledging God, but they were worshiping Baal. Had Gallup Stein lived in that era and had conducted a poll, he probably would have discovered that 95% of the people believed in the existence of God, and 87% of them attended worship service sometime during the year. 92% of them felt that religion was important in a person's life, and 90% believed that they should have prayer in the public schools. However, there was a divided heart, though a general belief in God, reverencing of God, acknowledging of God, yet their hearts were divided. Israel had been blessed by God. It had become a very prosperous nation. But in their prosperity, they used the prosperity to make more ornate altars to the other gods. As he said, as they multiplied their fruit, they increased their altars. They just used the money in the pursuit of the other gods. That as the goodness of the land was given to them, they only made more elaborate idols or images for these other gods. And the problem was, they didn't bring forth fruit unto God. As far as God was concerned, nothing came back to him. He was giving all to them, but nothing was coming back to him. The more he gave to them, the more they turned towards these other gods. And they used that abundance that God had provided for them in the pursuing after these other gods. They used their surplus funds to buy large screen TVs and season tickets for the Angel games, and a condo in Aspen. No, the Bible really doesn't say that, but it said that they were using their surplus funds to make more altars and more elaborate images. But these altars were unto the other gods. These images were representations of the other gods that they were worshiping. They made images unto Molech, who was the god of pleasure, because they acknowledged that pleasure was the thing that had mastered their life. They had made images of Ashtoreth as others acknowledged that their sexual desires were paramount in their lives. They were honest enough to admit that these were the things that were really ruling their lives. They were really their top priorities. Thus, they would go to synagogue on Sabbath, read from the Torah, say a few prayers, and then the rest of the week they pursued after their own pleasures and after their own desires. So it was a divided heart. God had a place in their heart, but only a small place. There were other gods that they were worshiping, other shrines to which they were bowing. So God forbid that the Super Bowl should come on a Sabbath, for they would have to miss synagogue. They were seeking to serve God and mammon. Now, Jesus declared that this was not possible. He said, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And yet, how many people we find today that are seeking to do just that? They are seeking to serve God and mammon. During the time that Joshua was still living, he had led the children of Israel into the conquest of the land. Their enemies, their foes, had been subdued. They were now in the process of reaping the benefits of this fertile land. The trees that they had planted were maturing, producing an abundance of fruit. Things were going well. And they began to, again, have idleness of time that they began to use in the pursuit of pleasure and other things. And Joshua stood before the people close to the time of his death, and he declared unto them, "If it seems evil unto you to serve Jehovah, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The idea is, who are you going to serve? Or are you serving God with a divided heart? Are there other issues that compete in importance in your life with your worship of God? Are there other things that you find attractive? Are there other things that vie for your devotion in your heart? Elijah stood before the nation. The nation of Israel, the same ones that Hosea was prophesying to. He was there a little before Hosea. But Ahab had led the people into the honoring and the worship of Baal. There were hundreds of priests who led the people in the worship of Baal. And so Elijah challenged the people and the priest of Baal to a contest, to go to Mount Carmel and there to build two altars, one to Baal and one to Jehovah. And let the priest of Baal pray unto him to ignite the fire of the altar. And the challenge was, let the God who answers by fire be acknowledged as God. For Elijah said to the people, how long do you halt between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. But again, the condition of the nation at that time was a divided heart. They were halting between the two. They were worshiping God on Sabbath, but yet they were also worshiping Baal. And he said, how long are you going to be in this position of a divided heart? If Jehovah is God, then follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. But don't be in that position of vacillation between the two. In 2 Kings chapter 17, it speaks of the people, and it said, they feared Jehovah, but they served their own gods. Again, a divided heart. Yes, I respect Jehovah. I honor and reverence Jehovah, but I'm really serving my own God. When Jesus was taken by Satan into the high mountain, and Satan showed to him the kingdoms of the world, and he said to Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give to you all of these kingdoms and the glory of them. And Jesus answered him and said, get out of here, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Paul the Apostle said, don't you realize that whoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you become, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You cannot serve God and mammon. Israel was guilty of a divided heart. A divided heart is actually a lukewarm condition. Because you see, lukewarm is divided between hot and cold. It's just a combination of hot and cold. You combine the two, it makes lukewarm. And when Jesus was addressing the conditions of the church of Laodicea, his comments were that they were lukewarm. He said, I would rather that you either be hot or you be cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. It's an intolerable condition as far as the Lord is concerned. He doesn't want a divided heart. He doesn't want to be just a part of your life. He doesn't want you to just include him in the other gods that you worship. But he desires that you give your heart, soul, mind, body totally to him in love, in devotion, in worship. In looking at your own heart today, would you classify the condition of your heart as a divided heart? Now, that's very difficult, really, to properly analyze, because Jeremiah tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And he said, who can know it? And as you look at your own heart, there's a lot of deception as a rule. Because you say, well, I serve God, I go to church. But is there a division there? The Bible says that the Lord searches the heart to give to every man according to the fruit of his doings. Socrates said, man, know yourself, but who really does? Because of the deceitfulness of our hearts. And David, realizing that the heart is deceitful above all things, said, O Lord, thou hast known me and searched me. And then he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be some wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. He said, God, thou hast searched me, thou hast known me, you know all about me. He said, such knowledge is too great for me, I cannot attain it. The knowledge of myself, God, you know me better than I know myself. You know what I would do in certain situations. You know the breaking point. You know my limits. You know what temptation would trip me up. You know my frailties. You know my weaknesses. Oh God, I don't know them. I so often am deceived by my own heart. I think I'm stronger than I am, more capable than I am, more committed than I am. But God, you know the truth. And so you search me, O God, and know my heart. You try me and know my thoughts. See if there's some wickedness there, God, and you lead me in your way everlasting. So we also need to ask God to search our hearts, to reveal the truth unto us. Will he find a divided heart? Am I trying to serve God and mammon? You see, being in church here this morning is not a guarantee of a singleness of heart. Because while you are sitting here, your mind can be roaming as you're planning your afternoon activities, go by and rent an R-rated video and invite some friends over for a beer party, you know. You may be planning the whole thing while you're sitting here. Say, well, I'm sitting in church. You may be in the house of the Lord this morning, but in some bar tonight. You may spend Sunday in church, but maybe have no other contact with God the rest of the week. That's a divided heart. That's exactly the issue that God was dealing with and that God does deal with throughout the scripture. This problem, this heart problem, the divided heart. David, in the psalm that we read, prayed, Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name. God, give me a singleness of heart, a heart toward you. Do not let me be in the place of deception where I think that all I have to do is just attend church on Sunday morning and everything is okay. You know, the place of a divided heart is usually a place that is quite miserable. You have enough of the Lord in your heart that it makes you uncomfortable when you get in worldly surroundings. You can't really enter fully into it. There is that, you know, check that is within that keeps you from that full indulging into the world. And yet, you've got too much of the world in your heart to really be fully happy in Jesus, to have that real joy of the Lord just springing up within. And so you're in that middle ground, lukewarm, which is really a miserable place to be, because you're being pulled on the one side by your desire for Jesus and for serving him, and you're pulled on the other side by your attraction to the things of the world. And thus, you just find yourself constantly in this place of turmoil, being pulled in both directions. You have a very strong approach avoidance conflict, which can create neurosis. The results of a divided heart. God said that he would break down their altars. He would spoil their images. These things of the world that you have given your heart to, these other desires that have taken you away from God, these possessions that you have striven to achieve or striven to gain, God said he'll strip them. Look around at the world in which you live. All of these material things that we find so attractive, and just realize they're all going to burn. They're going to be destroyed. There's only one thing that really lasts. There are only one kind of treasures that are eternal. And that's the spiritual treasures that you have laid up. The rest is as wood, hay, and stubble. It's all going to burn. And so God said to them, I'm going to take away your altars. I'm going to destroy your images. They have attracted you. They've drawn you away from me. They've created that divided heart. You've been pursuing after these other things, but I'm going to destroy them. And you're going to lose your kingdom. Now shall they say, we have no king. Your king is going to be destroyed. He's going to be killed. And you yourself will be taken captive. And this golden image, this calf, this golden calf that you have set up as your God, it's going to be carried away and given as a gift to the king of Assyria. That is the tragic folly of the other gods that people worship and enshrine, is that they are going to fail. Yet people give themselves to it. They sacrifice that real commitment to Jesus Christ. The things that are truly eternal and of real value, they compromise those as they worship their other gods. But these other things are going to fail. They're going to be destroyed. It's interesting, you're going to be taken as captives. The worship of false gods always brings a person into bondage. sin has as one of its primary characteristics that power of bringing a person into bondage or under its control. You begin to indulge a little bit in it, and you think, oh, well, you know, I can take it or leave it, and this is sort of exciting and all, but, you know, I know it's not right, but I can quit anytime I want. But it's deceptive because it begins to bring you under its power and into bondage, and you become a captive. Mammon, Molech, Ashtoreth, Baal, they will all make slaves out of you as they get control over your mind, over your heart, and over your life. And that person whose heart has been divided soon finds that he is captivated by these other things, and they draw him away from his relationship with God, from that which is pure and that which is holy and that which is right. What can I do about a divided heart? Well, with David, you can pray that God will just unite your heart to serve him. God, just take away this divided heart. And then you can make a covenant with God that you will serve Jesus. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so you can make that covenant, I'm going to serve the Lord, as Joshua, when he challenged the people and said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Made that commitment. And I challenge you to just make that commitment. I'm going to serve the Lord. I cannot serve the two masters. I'm being divided. I'm being pulled. I'm in a position of misery. But I'm going to serve the Lord. You see, the scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. He demands it all. And he won't tolerate a divided heart. He doesn't want half of your devotion or a part of your devotion. He wants you to worship and serve him with a whole heart. And you can make that determination. I'm going to leave off these other things, these idols, these things that have drawn me away, and I'm going to return and I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, mind, and strength. Shall we pray? Father, as we read the words of the prophet to the people who were about to be destroyed, who were on the verge of going into captivity, who were about to lose all of the possessions that they had treasured and given themselves over to obtain. As their world was ready to radically change. And they had left the things that were eternal, the things of true value, and had taken up with these earthly, fleshly things. And now they were losing them. Oh God, help us that we might truly look at life and the reality of the emptiness of the life given over to the flesh and the permanency of a life devoted to you. And may we choose, Lord, to love you and to serve you with all of our heart, mind, strength. Take away a divided heart, Lord. Unite our hearts to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Therefore, let a man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. Is it a divided heart? God knows. If it is, like Elijah, how long do you halt between two opinions? How long are you going to have that divided heart? If the Lord is God, then, hey, let's serve him. No divided heart. Let's just commit ourselves fully unto him. And if you want to make that commitment, you can do it right now as you're standing there. Just in your heart, you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give up these other gods, idols, things that have drawn me away, things that have attracted me, things that have allured my heart and mind. Lord, I'm going to give those up. I'm going to serve you. And you can make that commitment right now as you stand here before God. You can just make that vow to God. Lord, you alone will I serve. Because you cannot serve God and mammon. You see, you'll grow towards one and away from the other if you try to do that. You can't do it. You can't stay with a divided heart. A divided heart will ultimately lead to the commitment to one or the other. Lord, it's you that I love. It's you that I will serve because I love you.